Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Church, the Word of God is more sweeter than honey. It gives us strength, gives us victory, gives us power. That's why we would like to share the Word of God. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was born, many people did not expect His coming. They did not plan to see Him coming. In fact, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ messed up many people's plan. King Herod planned to be the king of the Jews for the rest of his life. But then Jesus came and messed up his plan. Because Jesus came to be the king of the Jews and the king of the universe. The shepherds had their plan. They want to have a good time, quiet time at night, resting with their sheep. But then Jesus showed up. And the angels came and sing. The plan of the shepherd was messed up by the first Christmas. The religious leader of the Jews, their plan was messed up because they were expecting the religious leader who would come and overthrow the Roman Empire to set the Jews free from the Roman captivity. But when Jesus showed up, He said, when somebody slap on your cheek, turn the other cheek. Jesus showed up and said, love your enemy. Jesus said, go the second mile. Jesus messed up the plan of the Jewish religious leader. The plan of the innkeeper was messed up. He ran out of his spaces, like in this room right now. We ran out of the space. A lot of people have to stand up. But most of all, the plan of Mary and Joseph was messed up. They were just past the teenager, young people, want to get married, want to have little Mary and little Joseph and have a nice wedding and nice marriage. And then suddenly God show up and mess up their plan. God say, by the way, Mary, I want to tell you something. Your plan is not the plan that you have. Because number one, your son, you're going to have a son. And the father of this son is not Joseph. And this son going to be a virgin birth. And number three, by the way, your son is the son of the living God who will save the whole world. The plan of Joseph and Mary was messed up by God that day. My dear brother and sister, how many of you have God mess up your plan? I know that God messed up our plan sometime. For myself, God messed up my plan. But when I was a young man, I went to the medical school and I wanted to be a famous neurosurgeon, writing articles, journals, and wanted to be professor in the university. And I want to be the best neurosurgeon in my city. But one day Jesus showed up in my life and He messed up my plan. Now I became a pastor. I'm not a professor of the university anymore. God came to mess up my plan. Some of you may have your plan messed up too. But tonight I have the good news to tell you. This is the good news, you know. You heard the word mess up, you were kind of scared right now. But actually the good news. One time a lady in New York during Christmas went to a mall and planned to bring her son to the Santa Claus to sit on the lap and have a picture. But when she showed up, that Santa Claus is her ex-husband. who hadn't paid child support for many years. 3 hours later, she came back with a court paper, and his plan was messed up by that Christmas. So that Santa Claus was in trouble. A lot of things that you plan to happen do not happen. Many things that you like to happen do not happen. That's why we pray that the will of God will happen in our life. A lot of time our plan are messed up because we make mistake. Many times our plans are messed up because of our stupidity. Sometimes other people mess up our plan. But tonight I want to tell you that sometimes God, by His sovereignty, He come and mess up your plan. And tonight I want to tell you why God come to mess up your plan. How many people have God mess up your plan? Raise your hand up. But it's good for you. There are a few reasons that God mess up your plan. Number one, I want to share with you. God come and mess up our plan because He want to get your attention. He want to say, hello, listen to me. The second reason God mess up our plan because He has a different plan for you and me. And number three, He want to teach us to learn how to trust Him. Okay, number one, God come to mess up our plan so that He can get our attention. He messed up our plan to get our attention. Mary and Joseph planned to get married, planned to have kids, planned to have a wonderful business and married life. And then God show up one day and say, by the way, you're going to have a virgin birth. And the son going to be the son of the living God. And they didn't believe that God had to send angel to talk to them. God need to come into the dream with the angel to talk to them. And then they believe. They say, oh, okay, okay. Wow. You want to get our attention. You know, thank God for the angels, but I never see the real angels from heaven. I have a few angels in my house, like Da and my children. But I never see the angel. We don't need the angel to talk to us. God can speak to our spirit. God can speak to us by His spirit. And whenever God speaks to us, we call revelation. We call inspiration. God come and want to get our attention. Sometimes we just kind of cruise around our life and we never pay attention to God. And then God show up and mess up our plan so that we can listen to Him. A lot of time, as human being, we have a problem of we call attention deficit disorder with God. You know, attention deficit disorder, ADD. We put God on the waiting call list. We put God on the on hold. We put God in the voicemail. We don't listen to Him. We spend more time listening to TV, listening to the radio. We spend more time doing something else, and we never pay attention to what God wants to say to us. And God wants to wake us up. God wants us to listen to Him. God wants to get our attention. So God wants to speak to us. Actually, God wants to speak to us all the time. But the problem with us, we are too busy listening to God. And that's why God sometimes has to mess up our plan so that we will wake up. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 81, verses 8 to 13, listen to me, O my people. Why I give you stern warnings, O Israel, if you would only listen. You must never have a foreign God. You must not bow down before a false God. For it was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. God loves to give good things. But no, my people would not listen. Israel did not want me around. So I let them follow their blind and stubborn way, living according to their own desires. But oh, that my people, listen carefully. Oh, my people would listen to me. God wants us to listen to God. Amen. God wants to get our attention. Why God wants us to get our attention? Why God wants us to listen to Him? I tell you right now, God wants us to listen to Him because He wants to spare all of us a lot of pain in life. We get ourselves into trouble when we don't listen to God. God wants to spare millions of dollars. God wants to spare an accident. God wants to spare you from big accident. God wants to spare you from many problems. If you listen, you just open your ear and listen to the voice of your shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. The Bible says clearly that many things in our life, it sounds good. Oh, let's buy that stock. Let's buy that high-tech stock. Let's do that. Let's do this. Let's get involved in that business. And after a few years, you get into trouble. Disaster. Why? Because you keep running your life without listening to God. You don't know the future, my dear brother and sister. I don't know the future. But God knows the future. God knows the roadblocks. God knows around the corner what's going on. God knows the future. God knows which stock going to go down. God knows which business going to go downhill. God knows exactly what is going on. So what we need to do, we need to listen to God. He knows all the problems that come in the future. God wants to spare all of us from many, many heartaches, many, many troubles. Amen. That's why God wants us to get our attention and listen to Him. I remember one time, actually many times in my life, that God spared me from many problems. I give you one example. I share this example many times, but many of you never heard this story. One time in around 1988, at a hospital, I don't want to tell you the name of the hospital. I was preparing myself at 2 a.m. to open somebody's skull to take the clot out from the brain. And while I was preparing my hand, washing my hand, God spoke to me. Son, look through the window. There's something wrong. So I initially ignored the voice, but after a few ring bell from heaven, say, look through the window. Eventually, I looked through the window, and I found something wrong. Because the CAT scan showed that the clot is on the right side of the brain, but my junior doctor put the left side of the brain up. So in other words, he shaved the head on the wrong side, and prepared for me to open the left side of the skull. So it means that the patient gonna die if I do that, and I'm gonna be in a big lawsuit. So I listen to God, I walk in and say, Dr. So-and-so, I don't want to tell you the name. Could you please change the side of the head? The clot is on the right side, not the left side. God spare the life of that patient because her doctor listened to the voice of God. And this is one of the examples. I have another example. One time I took the clot out from the brain of a lady 65 years old. The CAT scan showed only one clot. I was ready to close the skull. Suddenly God spoke to me, there is another clot in the temporal lobe here. And I said, no, CAT scan didn't show the clot in the temporal lobe. But God said, it is in there. So I listened to God, I opened that up, and I saw another clot, which did not show in the CAT scan, because it happened between the CAT scan and the time of the surgery. God spared my life and spared the life of my patient because I listened to the voice of God. Let's pay attention to God all the time. Let's listen to God all the time. Amen. Amen. In the Bible, there is many if. The Bible says if you listen to Him, the Bible says if you do that, you will be blessed. If you do this, you shall be prosperous. You will be successful. But if you do this, you shall face calamity. You shall face problem. The God tell us if. Do that and don't do that. We need to pay attention to the voice of God. Amen. And why God tell us, why God want us to talk to us? Not because He is a big boss but try to control our life. No. He is a loving mother who try to tell the young child that don't touch the hot stove because your hand gonna be burned. God loves us so much and He wants to protect us. God messed up our plan so that He can get our attention. How many people of you after tonight you say, I'm going to listen to God more so I will spare my life from a lot of problems. I remember one time in Thailand, the country that I was born, American missionary went to Thailand. And while they were driving on the freeway, gonna go around like this, they don't see the bus from the other side. And suddenly the Lord told them to pull the car off from the road. I mean, the road was empty. So they pulled the car off. You know what happened? 2 seconds later, two bus was trying to pass one another and pass by them. So can you imagine if they did not listen to the voice of God, they would be having a head-on collision and die at the spot. Spare their life. Their life was spared because they listened to God. God wants to get our attention. Amen. Number two, God messed up our plan because God has a better plan. Everyone say, God has a better plan for me. Every one of you was designed uniquely. And God has a purpose and plan for every one of you, including me. You all, God has the plan for you. And His plan is the best plan. In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future." God say, "My plan is good. My plan is better than your plan. If you follow my plan, you're going to find good things." Amen. A lot of people misunderstand that after you become a Christian or follow Jesus, your life is going to be miserable. No fun anymore. If you think that there is no fun anymore, I want to invite you to come to this church on Sunday. We have a lot of fun here. We have a lot of laughter, a lot of fun. Amen. People sing and happy. We are not here like a funeral ceremony. We are having fun. Amen. Become a Christian, having fun. My relationship with my wife got better every single year. We have a good marriage now. We have wonderful relationship. Becoming a Christian is good. Because God has a better plan for me and you. Amen. But I want to tell you one thing. His plan is different from your plan. What kind of difference? Number one, His plan is bigger than your plan. Mary and Joseph just want to get married, have kids, and have a business, carpentry business. But God show up and say, "By the way, I changed your plan. I messed up your plan. Because now your plan is that you're going to bless the whole world through your son. And his name is Jesus. Because all the nations, and sit in here, all the nations going to be saved by your son, Jesus Christ." God has a bigger plan than Joseph and Mary's plan. Why bigger plan? Because God has a bigger perspective. Our perspective is so small as human being. Amen. My plan is to become a professor, cut a few heads, cut a few back, and save somebody's life for a little bit. But God said, no. I want you to be a preacher so that you can save many people to go to heaven as well. Not just save their brain tumor and their back problem. Amen. God has a better plan for us. So, if you surrender to the plan of God, let Him work through you and in you, you're going to be in the bigger plan, a better plan of God. How many people want the best plan in your life? Amen. And God has that plan for you. Number two, not only that God has a better plan for you, number two, His plan for you is harder than your plan. You don't like to hear this, I know. His plan is harder than your plan. As human being, we don't like resistance. We like to just float along the river. We don't like to face difficulties. We want to have an easy way out. But God said, no. I'm going to give you a harder plan. I want to tell you why. How many people want to know why God give you a harder plan, not easy plan? Why? Because I want to tell you, because God is more interested in your character than He is for your comfort. God wants you to grow up. God wants you to be mature. God wants you to have integrity. God wants you to have love, have joy. God wants you to have a strong marriage. God wants you to be a strong and successful parents. God wants you to be a great citizen, a blessing to the nation. God wants you to grow up, become more mature. And that's why the plan is harder. So if you get everything easy all the time, you're going to be spoiled. You will be useless people. Amen. You can become strong because you go through hardship. So sometimes God's plan will be harder. When I was trained as a neurosurgeon, I was up all night, many nights, standing there for hours and hours, so hard, you know, to stand up all night to operate on people. But I wonder why American training system make doctors work so hard like this. Night and night and night, work so hard. And now after I graduated, I find out that, they make tough doctors. They make doctors that who can stand all night to do surgery. You have to be tough so that you can save people's life. But if they have an easy training for me, I would not be a good doctor. The same thing, God has a harder plan for you so that He can mold your character. So that you can grow up. You know, some people are 50 years old. Some people are 60 years old. I have to change the different age here because I don't want you to think that I hit you. 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, but they still like baby. Have you ever seen two babies in the house quarrel all the time? We need to grow up. Marriage life is in trouble because two babies live together. Don't know how to communicate. Don't know how to forgive. Don't know how to deal with one another in a mature and glorious and honorable way. God wants us to grow up. That's why God's plan is harder. Look at Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary, can you imagine? You know, I don't think you have ever thought this way. Mary was pregnant, the Son of God inside, at the end of her last semester. You know, the tummy must be quite big now. You know, at the last semester, instead of living in a nice home, warm, with the mother-in-law around, with the relative around, she had to be on the donkey. Get out from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Can you imagine how many people get pregnant before in your life? You have pregnancy experience. You think it's easy to be big Tommy sitting on the donkey for a long distance? Not only that, when she get to Bethlehem, the inn was full, the hotel was full. Now she has to go into an animal stable and have a baby without mom, without mother-in-law, without relative around. It's tough. God's plan is tough. I think that if it happened to some of you, you may say, why God? Why is me? If this is the Son of God, why it happened to me this way? Why I have to get into a donkey? Why I have to go travel on the end of my pregnancy? Why I have to be having a baby instead of being in the hospital, a nice warm blanket? Now I'm lying in the manger and around the animal with the smell. Why God choose that way? Amen. Because God wants to train us to become more mature. I tell you one thing. One thing that you need to seek is to become more mature, to become like Christ in your character. And that's why sometimes God allows the hardship to come into your life to mold you, to become stronger, to become more loving, more forgiving, more gracious to people. Amen. God's plan is harder. Number three. God's plan is more rewarding than your own plan. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. My dear brother and sister, if you follow the plan of God, the reward's gonna be greater than your own plan. You're gonna find your significance. You're gonna find your satisfaction. You know why? Because when you get to know God, you begin to find the plan of God in your life. You know exactly you were born for. You will not feel like you are wasting your life away. You will not just take oxygen in this world and just exist. Some people just exist. God wants you to live. God wants you to know exactly you were born for what. God wants you to live for the plan of God. Find out exactly what is the plan of God in your life. And God wants to lead you to that plan. Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago to tell you, to show you that you need to have relationship with God. You know, God's plan is harder, but it will pay off. Because the rewards will be better. Today, before, when we were preparing to come to the church, I and my wife were looking at each other's eyes and say, oh, we are so blessed to pastor this church. We are so blessed to be used by God to bless so many people. We find our calling. We find our the plan of God in our life. We find our significance. We find our satisfaction. It's not just go to work. Wake up in the morning, go to work, get a paycheck, and then eat dinner, and then go to bed, wake up next day, go to work, eat breakfast, eat lunch, eat dinner, go to bed, wake up, and go to work, just existing. But if you live in the plan of God, it's going to be rewarding spiritually, emotionally, financially, everything. Rewards now and in heaven. You're going to have big rewards in heaven. You're going to have rewards on earth as well if you find the plan of God. So God wants to say to you today, come and get to know me. I sent my son Jesus Christ to come down here so that you will get to know me. So the first thing I want to encourage all of you tonight, get to know the Son of the Living God as your personal Savior. This is not about religion. It's about relationship. I talk to Jesus every single day. I have communion with Jesus all the time. I talk to him in my car. I talk to him during performing surgery. I give you one example. I give you one example like this. I talked to him last week on Thursday, a patient from Sikkim came to see me. He was involved in a car accident. When he came to see me, he has severe neck pain. And I was talking to God, what is going on with this man? MRI looked unremarkable. Every test looked okay. Why he has a lot of neck pain? And then the Lord spoke to me. I spoke to him. He spoke to me. He told me, send him to have a test at Overlake Hospital. Oh, I tell you, he came back yesterday. In my office, I look at the film, I almost fall off the chair. He has a neck fracture that everyone missed. He was walking around in the city with a neck fracture and his neck go off like this. And he was not paralyzed. But you know why? He come to the place where the doctor is talking to Jesus all the time. Listening to what God has planned. Amen. You need to listen to God. You need to have religion. It's not really, don't go to church for religion. It's wrong. You go to church. You become a Christian for relationship. Talking to God and God gonna speak to you. I guarantee God gonna speak to you. God gonna spare you. And then after you have relationship with God, then you begin to find the purpose and the plan of your life that God has for you. And you develop the skill, the talents to be a blessing to other people. You know, medically, there is a research many years ago. They find out that whoever find their talents and gift and live their life for other people, that's what God told us. God says, serve me and serve others. Scientifically and medically, that person, immunity, the immunity is stronger than people who live for themselves. Let me repeat one more time. People who are living their life using their talents and their gift to serve other people, to serve God, to serve the community, have stronger immunity than people who live for themselves. God designed our body in such a way that we are meant to live for God. We need to live for the purpose of God. And you will see that your life will be blessed. Healthier, stronger. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many people want to be healthy? How many people want to say that the cold will not touch you? Cancer cannot touch you. Amen. If you live your life for God, God will give you a special good health. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tonight I want to encourage all of you to really have relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe that 2,000 years ago, he knew already that you're going to sit here and get your attention for a few minutes to listen to this message. And there are three kinds of people in this room. I will end my sermon here. Three kinds of people. The first kind of people are those who already know Jesus Christ. And you already find the purpose of God in your life. I want to encourage you tonight, those who already know Jesus, that on the cross, Jesus has fixed three things for you already. Number one, He fixed your past. Your past sin have been forgiven. You don't have to pay for your sin anymore. You don't have to die in the eternal lake of fire. Number two, on the cross, Jesus fixed your present. Today, you can draw on the power of resurrection to be able to face any problems in your life. You know, Christianity, before I became a Christian, I follow religion. And there is only good law to follow, but there is no power. But now, I see the power of God. I can live and depend on the power of God. Amen. How many people want to live with the power of God? Amen. Hallelujah. And number three, He fixed your future. Your future is guaranteed. Last Sunday, I was singing Christmas song in the church. My tear came out from my eyes. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Son, are you glad that after you die and leave this world, you're going to be in heaven for eternity? Because Jesus has paid the price for you. I have a secure place to go after I die that is in heaven. So for those who believe in Jesus already, I want to tell you the good news. Your past has been forgiven. Your present is secure by the power of God. Your future is secure because you're going to be living with God for eternity. And then the second group of people are those who are seekers. You're seeker like the wise men. You still seek God. You haven't known God yet. I would like to encourage those who are seeking God. Keep seeking. The Bible says that you will seek me and you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. Search for God. Seek God. I challenge you. If you don't know God, I challenge you to open the Bible and begin to read the book of Matthew, Mark, John, and Luke. I can guarantee you will meet God. God revealed Himself through the Bible. Keep seeking Him. Go to church, go to Bible study group, and you're going to find God. And once you find God, your life will never be the same. Amen. I never regret that I become a Christian. I'm so glad that I gave my life to Jesus Christ 24, 25 years ago. Keep seeking. And the third group of people, those who come to know God and used to be on fire, and now you kind of look warm and feel kind of distracted. I want to encourage you. Come back home. Go back to church. Go back to the fellowship. Start to read the Bible again. Start to serve God again. Don't walk away from God. Come back to God this Christmas. Today, at the end of this sermon, I would like to encourage you. If you never know Jesus Christ, I'd like to invite you to come to know Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord. It's very simple. 24 years ago, I say like this, God, I am a sinner. I know that I did not come from monkey. I did not come from an ape. I came from God. I was created in the image of God. How many people believe that you come from monkey? Raise your hand up. If you come from monkey, raise your hand up. I don't come from monkey because monkey doesn't know how to cook. I know how to cook. Monkey doesn't know how to open the brain. I'm not from monkey. I'm from God. I have creative thinking like God. Amen. Hallelujah. I come from God. If you look at the physical body, you look at the brain, the eye, you look at the anatomy. Next Tuesday, I'm going to go into the radio station. They're going to interview me. How come a doctor know that there is God? And I'm going to tell you right now, if you looked at the anatomy in your brain and your body, you know that there's no way your life come by an accident or by the explosion of something. You come from a great designer, and his name is Jesus. He is God, the creator. And God right now invites you, come back home. Come and have relationship with me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He said that when you see me, you see the Father. If a person claimed this way, there are only three possibilities. Number one, he is a liar. Number two, he is a crazy person. Claim to be God. And number three, he is a real God. If you study about the life of Jesus, the reason of Christmas, you know that he is not a liar. You know why he's not a liar? Because all of his disciples died for him. No one will die for a liar. He is not a crazy man. Have you ever gone to a crazy hospital, a hospital with crazy people? Have you ever gone there? Crazy people cannot raise people from the dead, walk on the water, and feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And crazy people cannot heal the sick and perform miracle and stop the wind. He is God. He claimed to be God. And he is what he claimed to be. And I want to tell you right now. I mean, if you speak to your heart right now, if you ask yourself, if you are a very wise people here. I know you are wise people. Smart people. If you ask yourself, you know that there is God. Is that right? Yeah. And why people don't want to accept God? One of the reasons, because I don't want any boss to tell me what to do. I want to encourage you right now. This boss, the Lord Jesus Christ, loves you and he wants to give you the best plan in your life. He is not a bad boss. He's not going to come to torture you and give you a hard time. He wants to come to bless you. He's a good boss. He's a good Lord. Very simple. Pray. Ask him to come into your life. Tonight I would like to ask you, if you want to invite Jesus to come to your life, I'm going to lead you to prayer tonight. Very simple. Anyone want to have Jesus to be the God in your life? Can you raise your hand up and say, God, I want Jesus to be my God. You may be a Christian already. You can raise your hand too. That you want Jesus to be your God. Can you raise your hand and tell God that, Jesus, you are my God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to lead you in prayer tonight. You may think that you are a Christian, but you're not sure tonight. You just follow my prayer. Okay, I'm going to lead you to pray. Why don't we close our eyes and bow our head? Follow my prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, that you sent the best gift on the first Christmas. That is your Son, Jesus Christ. He comes to save me. He loved me. Oh Lord Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. You came and died for me to wash my sin, to give me a new plan, a plan to prosper me, to give me hope and a future, a good future. Jesus, come into my life tonight. Lead my life. Show me the plan of God for my life. I want a better plan. Come in, Lord, right now. I want to follow you and serve you all the days of my life. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. Why don't we give hand to everyone who invite Jesus into your life. Thank you very much for coming. Now we're going to have a special song and we're going to have a candlelight at the end. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much for coming. We're going to have the choir come out one more time. At this time, the ushers are going to... Steve, can you bring this over here, please? Thanks. The ushers are going to pass out candles for you. Okay, so here's the plan. After we sing our candle lighting song, we're going to light the candles, sing Silent Night, and then you'll blow them out. Okay? And then Kenny's going to lead a couple more songs for you. Okay? So, let's have the choir come out. And then once the choir's out, we're going to invite the kids to come up and sing with us too.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give him a wonderful hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you so much for coming tonight, friends and families. Actually, at this moment, we just want all of us to all stand up together. We're going to sing some Christmas carol together. And we're going to light the candle together, okay? And we're going to sing Silent Night together. And please join me and just get in the spirit of Christmas together. Amen. Okay, let's light the candle from the ends. The archer is going to light the candles. Start lighting the candles.
Oh, fell this world. A chill.
won't be Christmas until we sing this song. We wish you Merry Christmas. We wish you Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Distinguish your candle now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
We will have snack. You can stay for fellowship if you have time. But before we end, can I pray? I feel led by God to pray and bless you tonight. How many people want to be blessed by the Lord? Lift your hand up. I'd like to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that the coming year, 2005, for everyone in this room, will be a year of success, a year of good health, the year of surplus of prosperity, a year of new things. Lord, all of their children, all of their grandchildren, Lord, shall be blessed. Everything that their hand touch shall be blessed, Lord. I pray, Father, those who sick shall be healed tonight. Father, we pray, Lord, those who depressed will find the joy of God. Father, those who need a breakthrough, you give them the breakthrough. By the end of this year and year 2005, you bless them so that there shall be a blessing to many nations. Father, I pray that there will be the head, not the tail. There will be above, not beneath. Lord, I pray, Lord, the grace of God shall abound in their life, Lord. They shall find the security. They shall find the protection of God. Father, may your presence be with them at their home. Be with them everywhere they go, Lord. Bless them indeed, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone who receives, say, Amen. God bless all of you. Hallelujah. God bless you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.